Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Ian Sinkinson. I'm one of the church wardens here at St. James's. And I'm greatly honoured to be asked to give this short talk at our civic service of Thanksgiving. I say short and I mean it. I've been told to keep it short. So sadly, I won't be able to share with you my very amusing, but quite long, story of when I met the Queen. See me afterwards if you really want it. Today, as Judith has said, is a double celebration because today is indeed Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Cynthia read to us just now. But more of that later. I want to reprise some of the words that we've said in that Benedicite. And just to remind us what we've got to be thankful for, because this is a service of thanksgiving. Over the last 3 days, and today, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee has been celebrated very grandly. The Trooping of the Colour, the RAF fly past, beacons across the country, miles of bunting, thousands of parties, a national service at St. Paul's, and last night's party at the palace, and more grandeur to come today, weather permitting. But it's also appropriate that we too celebrate as a local community to give thanks to God in his house for our Queen and all the blessings of the last 70 years. Now, although we're celebrating on a relatively small scale this morning, we're still, in some small way, a historic event in the life and the ongoing life of our community. And you're invited to mark the occasion by just appending your signature to one of the pages which you'll find up here in the chancel after the service. And that will become a digital record for perpetuity. Now, Queen Elizabeth II has been our sovereign for 70 remarkable years, in which she's faithfully served our nation with dignity, with devotion to duty, courage, consistency, and perseverance. We live in a world where most other nations are governed either by dictatorships, with leaders with no care for their citizens, or in presidential democracies where the style and direction of the head of state varies with the political wind. By contrast, how blessed we are in our own constant, caring and servant-hearted head of state, who remains the same whatever the political mood in the country. At the age of 21, Her Majesty the Queen, then Princess Elizabeth, said this in a radio broadcast from Cape Town to the nation, the Commonwealth, and the Empire. "I declare before you all that my life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong." And she has done exactly that. Her Majesty has served us through 70 years of great change. The British Empire that she spoke of in that speech has gone, while the Commonwealth has become more important, and the Queen has been keenly active in promoting it and holding it together. "The Commonwealth bears no resemblance to the empire of the past," the Queen said in 1953. "To that new conception of an equal partnership of nations and races, I shall give myself heart and soul every day of my life," she promised. And she keeps her promises. Over the span of her reign, social norms have changed almost beyond recognition. The same monarch who, soon after coming to the throne, had to forbid her sister to marry a divorced man, had, sadly, years later, to direct her own son to divorce his wife after their separation. cathedrals fly the rainbow flag, and the Church of England is discussing same-sex marriage. In the same period, technological developments have transformed our world and our lives. As an ex-aircraft engineer, although once an engineer, always an engineer, I am amazed at the pace of change. That piston-driven aircraft which flew Princess Elizabeth to Kenya in 1952. We now see supersonic airliners. Sadly, Concorde no longer with us. From the famous red telephone box. Surely some of you remember those. You know, that ate your pennies. We now have communication satellites orbiting the Earth. From the 12-inch, grainy, black-and-white image of the coronation that I watched so many years ago. We now have these massive plasma screens at national events. And, of course, there's this. This little device that you and I and vast numbers around the world carry in our pockets and our handbags and have trouble tearing our eyes away from. When I was doing my engineering training, this was pure science fiction. Social media, too, has transformed how we relate to each other, how we communicate with each other. The Queen, I understand, is on Facebook. I'm not. In 2002, in a speech to mark a golden jubilee, the Queen said she saw her role as guiding the kingdom through the changing times. Change has become a constant, she said. Managing it has become an expanding discipline. Throughout our changing time, consistency and constancy have been key qualities of her reign. A shining example to us of persevering dependability and loyalty. In the past 70 years, too, we've also seen much trouble and difficulty. We've seen economic hardship, labour difficulties. Do you remember the three-day week? Political turmoil and riots, even. We've seen conflicts, war, and terrorism. We've seen inequalities in society widen, social services diminish, and crime increase. We experienced the referendum and Brexit and the COVID pandemic. We saw and still see rapid inflation and families struggling to meet the escalating cost of living. And like all of us, Her Majesty has had her share of family problems, hers all in the glare of the media, which must have caused her great pain and distress. Through all these troubles, the Queen's constant message was one of encouragement and hope for a better future. In 1974, a particularly difficult year, with roaring inflation and an IRA bombing campaign on the British mainland, the Queen was once again Comforter-in-Chief. We hear a great deal about our troubles, about discord and dissension, and about the uncertainty of our future, she said. My message today is one of encouragement and hope. And that was so typical of the messages that she's given us, her people, through the years. For those 70 years, Her Majesty has, as we've read and said, served us tirelessly in so many ways. Much of that has been in the public eye, royal visits to charities and businesses and local events, thousands of miles on overseas visits representing the United Kingdom in a way that the government really can't, and at great national events such as her jubilees. but much of the service has been out of sight, quietly exercising not so much formal power, but powerful influence. Influence for right, for good, for common sense, for the good of the United Kingdom. Did you know that Her Majesty has actually seen 18 general elections and met with, on a weekly basis, 14 prime ministers? If ever there was an example of sacrificial service, that must be it. But I do wonder just how much national grief we've been spared through those meetings with all those prime ministers. We'll never know. To me, perhaps the greatest service that the Queen has given to the nation has been in her words. Through her broadcasts at Christmas and other times, she brought and still brings into our homes and lives a very personal and realistic recognition of the difficulties people were and are experiencing, as well as a consistent, enduring message of encouragement, peace, and hope. And underpinning this is Her Majesty's Christian faith. On the day of her coronation in 1953, she said to the nation, "I ask you all, whatever your religion, to pray for me on the day of my coronation, to pray that God would give me wisdom and strength to carry out the promises that I should then be making. I have been uplifted and sustained by the knowledge that your thoughts and prayers were with me." From her earliest ventures into public life, and through all her words and attitudes since, we can see that her personal belief in God and Jesus is real and very important to her, and greatly influences her values, her attitudes, and her behaviours. I believe that much of the hope for the future that she's able to share with us springs from her belief in the Christian gospel, which is in itself a message of hope. And at Pentecost, we celebrate heaven coming to earth to make that hope a certainty, a guarantee of God's promises. Shortly before he was arrested and crucified, Jesus told his disciples that when he was gone, he would send to them a comforter. This promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples in a most dramatic fashion, winds and flames of fire. In effect, part of God came down and began to dwell in each of those disciples. And having been filled with this Holy Spirit, the effect on the disciples was even more dramatic. These ordinary, uneducated guys, fishermen, a tax collector, began to speak in languages which people from all over the then known world could understand. They became amazing preachers, fearless evangelists. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit to begin building the church instituted by Jesus. That's why today is known as the church's birthday. So, happy birthday, church! The Holy Spirit is God the Father's gift to the church and to every Christian who believes. That is, those who repent and accept the good news that Jesus died and rose again to take the punishment that we deserve for our wrongdoing. Wrongdoing which separates us from God and ruins our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us to see the truth. And if we let him or her, to live our lives as God intended. The Apostle Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That same Holy Spirit guides, empowers, and enriches the lives of Christians today. And it is no accident, I believe, that we have, over the 70 years of her reign, seen glimpses of these fruits in the life and the words of the Queen. So to conclude, as well as Comforter-in-Chief, Queen Elizabeth has been our Encourager-in-Chief. A wonderful, inspired example of Christian service and sacrifice, consistently giving us a vision of hope for the future and giving her whole life in the service of God and the people of this nation. We do indeed have many, many good reasons to give thanks to God for her. Thanks be to God.